Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Lamed Beis. If you prefer, you can count 26 lines from the top. You'll notice the beginning words of today's shiur would be Masni Le Ravi Cheskel. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have in the margin a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Maisa im Rabbi Yecheskel, Rabbi Yehuda Bray. We have a story involving Rabbi Yecheskel and his son Rabbi Yehuda. Shemimenu loimdim eich yeled tzarich lenasech dvorov, from which we will learn how a child has to formulate his words, kishiroitzel lesakein divrei aviv, when he wants to correct his father's error. Very simply put, a child cannot say to a parent, "You're wrong." So how does a child correct his parent when he is making a mistake? So we'll see the Gemara. We also have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, which reads, Eich manishim chayve misas bezdin shenis arvu. How are we to administer punishment to those that are guilty of a capital punishment when they have mixed up a group of people, all having committed capital offenses? However, the type of punishment for one is not the same as the type of punishment for the other. It's true that all of these offenders are sentenced to die. However, in Jewish law, there are four different methods of execution, and they represent different types and levels of offense. So that if you have people that are guilty of the more serious form of execution mixed up with those that are sentenced to a less serious form of execution, how do you deal with such a group of people? The necessary background for appreciating this Gemara before we get into the text is as follows. There is a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonon, given a choice of skila or strefa, skila stoning, strefa execution by a form of burning. We're not going to get into the details. That's dealt with in Maseches Sanhedrin. But we don't have to translate any further. All we simply say is skila versus strefa. According to the Rabbonon, skila represents a more serious form of execution, more so than srefa, and Rabbi Shimon holds the opposite, srefa being a more serious form of execution than skila. That's by way of background. Now we read the Gemara. Masni le Ravi Cheskel l'Romi Brei. Ravi Cheskel, the father, teaches his son a Tanaic source, and the son is Romi. Later we'll be introduced to another son of Rav Yecheskel, Rav Yehuda. So in the meantime, Romi Bar Yecheskel is hearing from his father the following source. Hanisrafim beniskolim, there was a mix-up of people guilty of the Srefa punishment with those that are guilty of the Skila punishment. When you see phrasing like this, Hanisrafim bin Niskolim, you recognize that the majority are the Niskolim. Rabbi Shimon Oimer Yadunu Beskila, the way to deal with this entire group is to give them all skila, shasrefa chamura. It would be improper to, I would say upgrade, but that maybe is a poor choice of words, to increase the level of severity for someone who's guilty of a less severe penalty and give him something stricter, something more serious. Therefore, this entire group will get skila, as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, because to give someone that's chayav skila, to give them srefa, would not be right. When you look at this source, Rabbi Shimon is saying they get skila, and he's trying to make a point. Why do they get skila? Because srefa is the more chomor, is the more stringent form of execution. There's another angle when you look at this source, and you could say, look, the more severe got mixed up with a majority of the less severe. You look at the majority. The majority is skila. So one could conclude, if just looking at the source as it is, that skila would be administered simply because it's the majority. It would be more convincing, if you want to convey the idea that srefa is more chomor, you would, if you had a situation, or you described a situation where niskalim, the people guilty of stoning, which is less severe in Reb Shimon's eye, got mixed up with a majority of nisrafim, and even so, even though the majority is nisrafim, the majority would, and in Jewish law, basically, generally speaking, the majority sets the tone. You achrei rabim lahatos, we follow the majority. If you would have a case that the majority were nisrafim, and still I gave the entire group, I administered to the entire group skila, you would ask, why are you giving the entire group skila when the majority are nisrafim? You would say unequivocally, the reason we're going to administer the minority type execution is because srefa is more chomor. But as things stand right now, when you say that the majority is skila and you're going to give them skila, it might very well be because the majority is skila and you're following the majority. It's not as convincing as the other case we proposed. If you want to teach that we give the lesser punishment as, we'll say, as matter of course, you don't give the more severe punishment. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar lei Rav Yehuda Brei. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Yecheskel, who heard his father teaching his brother Rami, Rav Yehuda reacted and said, Abba, lo tisne hachi. Don't teach him like that. If you want to show that srefa is more chomor, and therefore we're going to give skila, you would have taught it a different way. You would have taught it the way we suggested. Namely, you would have described the situation that the niskolim are mixed with the nisrafim. The majority are nisrafim, and we're still going to give skila. Why are you going to give the minority type punishment? Because you can't give the more severe punishment to someone who's guilty of something less. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section of Gemara. The reason for the brackets is because this sukya is not really emphasizing the details of court execution. It's true we've been dwelling on that, but the purpose of this Gemara is, as we said in our introduction, to teach us how a child, upon hearing the error made by his parent, how is the child supposed to, according to the laws of Kibbutz Avim, how does he correct the parent? So in the meantime, we're going to leave aside the details of Niskolim and Nisrafim and focus on the way we've marked the Gemara. So in the meantime, Rav Yehuda said to his father, don't teach him that way. In other words, you're making a mistake the way you're teaching him. But the words that we have here, don't teach him like that. Skipping the bracketed section, Omar lay Shmuel to Rav Yehuda. Shmuel was the elder rabbi, says to Rav Yehuda, who in fact was a student of his, he says, Shinina, wise one. Shinina means a sharp individual, complimentary term. He says to his student Rav Yehuda, Lo temo leila vuchachi. Don't tell your father, don't speak to your father that way, namely, Abo lo tisne hachi. That's not the way to speak. Tisanya, and Shmuel quotes a Tanaic source. Hare shoyov evoiver al divrei Torah. Al yoimer lo abo avart al divrei Torah. If you see your father violating a teaching of the Torah, you don't say, Dad, you have violated a Torah precept. Ela oimer loy. And here we have a two-line bracketed section. Let's skip it for a moment. Abo, mikro kosuv Torah kach. You tell your father that there is a pasuk that says, thusly and thusly. The father would hear the pasuk and on his own understand that what he did was a mistake. In other words, provide in a respectful fashion, say, objective information, and let the father figure out on his own the mistake. That's the respectful way of doing things. Notice, of course, we've done a lot of skipping, but I hope that we successfully conveyed the theme of this Gemara and the way we're suggesting to read the Gemara in order to absorb the message. So once again, Rav Yehuda spoke in a rather, a harsh fashion to his father. Shmuel, we saw right after the bracket, says, that's not the way to talk to your father. And how does one correct his father? So then we read into the Tanaic source, a little more skipping, to see the proper way of correcting. How that would be, let's say, superimposed on Rav Yehuda, that the Gemara doesn't reveal. That's something we would figure out on our own. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the bracketed section. Rav Yehuda, as we said, was not satisfied with the way Rav Yecheskel, his father, was presenting the issue of the mix-up between the Nisrafim and the Niskalim. And he says, the way you're teaching it does not convey Reb Shimon's idea that we are to give skila and avoid the more severe sreifa, death penalty. Now that we continue with the brackets, here Rav Yehuda is explaining why the way his father presented the source would not really convey the spirit or the theme of the source with regard to the laws of capital punishment. My irya sreifa chamura. Why in the source, as it is, as the way you're teaching it, speak about giving skila because sreifa is more severe? Typically, I would have learned from the way you presented the source that the reason they're going to get skila, the ruba niskalin ninu, the majority of the offenders in that mix up were going to get skila anyway, and that if I were to administer sreifa, I would be violating the principle of achre rabin lahatos. So that the way you presented the source with the conclusion they get skila, I wouldn't know from the presentation that it's because sreifa is chomor. I would have thought they're going to get skila because that's the majority, and the rule of Torah is you follow the majority. Now, if you want to teach us how we avoid giving the more severe penalty when you have a mix-up, Elohochi Isnaya. Thusly, you should state the source. Haniskolim benisrofim. A minority of Niskolim defendants get mixed up with a majority of Nisrofim defendants or culprits. And even though the majority are Nisrofim, again, we mentioned this earlier, when you see the phraseology of Haniskolim benisrofim in the Talmudic grammar structure, the base bin Nisrofim indicates that's the majority. So you have the minority are Niskolim, and nevertheless I'm going to administer skila to all of those people. Why? Because you cannot give someone who is guilty of a less severe form of capital punishment the more severe. The discussion between father and son continue. Omar le, so father, Rabbi Cheskel says to Rabbi Yehuda, I hachi eimo seifa. Well, if you're going to teach it like you're suggesting, keep reading in the source and we'll see that it's not so smooth. It says, v'chachomim umrim yodunu b'sreifa. Shaskila Hamura. The Chomim say, in that mix-up case, they get Srefa, because Skila is the more severe, and you can't give the more severe punishment to someone who might be, who is subject to less. Well, according to the way you are suggesting the reading, namely that the majority are Nisrafim, my Irio de Skila Chamura, why does the source teach that they're going to get Srefa because Skila is the more severe? Typically, I'll tell you the reason they're going to get Srefa, according to your reading, the Ruba Nisrafim Ninu, because the majority are Nisrafim. That's why. You wouldn't give them skila because then you would be violating the principle of Achrei Rabban Lahatos. Omar Lei. So Rav Yehuda responds. Hasam, the citation of the Seifa, where the Chachomim are speaking up, Rabbonon hu de ko'amru lei l'Reb Shimon. It's the Rabbonon that are responding to Reb Shimon, to what Reb Shimon said in the Reisha. Before we go further, let's glance at the side in Rashi, in the Rashi right across. Hosam Rabbonon hu dugamri lei l'Reb Shimon. Haydi ko'amri, that which the Rabbonon say in the Seifa, shaskila chamura, we're going to give Seifa because skila is more severe. Lav taimo yavi l'milsayu. They're not giving a reason for their own position. Elohochi amri. Rather, thusly, they're saying to Reb Shimon, Yodunu b'sreifa basaruba. As I, Rav Yehuda, said, the text should be Niskolim b'nisrofim. The Rabbonin, that means the majority of Nisrofim, and the Rabbonin is saying, give them sreifa because the majority are sreifa. Udeko amris yodunu b'skila lahoki laleim, and you, Rabbi Shimon, said, I don't care that the majority are sreifa. They should get skila because you give the lighter form of punishment. Ein ata mekel, the Rabbonin are saying to Rabbi Shimon, by giving them skila, you're not being mekel, ala machmir. You are being stringent. Shaskila chamura. And here the Rabbonin are advancing their own position, that skila, in fact, is more chamur. So now we go back to the Gemara text. We'll read again the line. Omar Lei, the son of Rabbi Chesu Rabuda, says, Hosam in the Seifa, Rabbonon hu de ko'amru le the Reb Shimon. The Rabbonon are responding to what Reb Shimon had said. De ko'amris Seifa chamura, you, Reb Shimon, who are saying, give them the Seifa punishment. In other words, I should, correction, give them skila, because sreifa is chamor. Lo, skila chamura. To suggest in a case like that, where the majority are nisrafim, and you're going to give skila because you're trying to administer the less severe form of punishment, if you do that, i.e. you give them all skila, you're in fact coming down hard on them. You're giving them the stricter form of execution. Of course, that's the Rabbanan's point of view. Omar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinina, lo temo le lavuch achi. As we mentioned before, Shmuel points out to Rav Yehuda that the way you're speaking to your father is improper. To say your father to your father, don't say it like that, is out of bounds. Desanya, hareshoy oviv oivir al divrei Torah. Man sees his father violating a Torah precept. Al yoymer lo abo vart al divrei Torah. Don't tell him, Dad, you violated the Torah. Elo merlo. And we initially had skipped the bracketed section. Within the brackets, we have something that you're going to see is not really accurate. So we'll read the brackets straight through. Rather, you say to father, Abba, kach kosuf batorah. If you see your father violating something, you say, Dad, this is what it says in the Torah. Well, kach kosuf batorah tzurei kometzayerlei. By saying that to your father, that's tantamount to saying, you've violated the Torah. Elo, merlo, rather, you say thusly, Abba, mikra kosuv batorah kach. Not kach kosuv batorah, but rather, there is a posuk in the Torah that says thusly. And as we said before, you, as the son, are simply objectively stating a posuk to your father. You're not putting him on the spot. You're saying, Dad, there's a posuk that says this and this, and the father on his own will realize that he had made a mistake. Elozer ben Mas Yomer, Alba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, U'mitzvah Lasos. On the one hand, father is requesting you to give him a drink of water. On the other hand, you have there's a mitzvah that you need to perform. So Elozer ben Masya says, I will leave aside the honor to father, i.e. not bring him the drink immediately. I will go and rather do the mitzvah. Why? Shani v'abo chayova b'mitzvah. My father and myself are both obligated in the mitzvah. So that my choosing to do the mitzvah is something that my father would have had to do as well. We're both obligated in the mitzvah. So it's not a form of deprecation, of belittling one's father by opting to do the mitzvah, being that the mitzvah is something that the father himself would have been obligated to do as well. Rashi, by the way, gives an example. Father asked me to bring him some water, and there's another mitzvah, for example, to bury a dead person or to accompany the dead to his grave, something like that. Isi, we continue in the Gemara. Isi ben Yuda Oimer, imefshel mitzvah le'osos sayadei achir. If it's a type of mitzvah that could be accomplished, be fulfilled by someone else, and in the meantime you have the father having requested you're bringing him a drink. Let the mitzvah be done by someone else. And you go and perform the honor to your father. And Rav Matana rules like Isi ben Yehuda. This type of Gemara and the ruling of Rav Matana gives room for one to think, and that there is a machlokus between Isi ben Yehuda and Elozer ben Masya. It would seem that according to Rabbi Elozer ben Masya, even if the mitzvah could be done by someone else, you, the son, should go do the mitzvah. Seems to be some type of declaration of how important a mitzvah is, being that the father would himself have to have done the mitzvah as well. The reason that I'm pointing this out is because in general, throughout the Shas, when you see the term halacha, it indicates an attempt to rule like a particular shita, like a particular opinion, when you have a controversy, when you have a disagreement, so you rule like one side. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omer of Yitzchok bar Shila, Omer Rav Matana, Omer of Chista. And here we have a new markings. So on the side, we glance and see what we've written, Nosei / Mivneh. The Nosei is the topic heading with a structural note combined into one. The house form represents Deos, Be'inyan, Mechilas, Kovod. Different opinions regarding one foregoing on honor. It could be Av, a father foregoing on his honor. Rav, a rabbi. Nosi, a leader. And Melech, a king. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice that there's a certain build-up in terms of the opinions. And you'll notice that if you simply look at the house markings, and we always encourage when learning with our Gemara marking system to get an overview through the markings. Rav Chista speaks about a father who foregoes his honor versus a rabbi, a rav, a teacher, a Torah teacher that foregoes his honor. And he makes a distinction. Rav Yosef points out that even a rabbi has the power to forego the honor due to him. He can forgive that. And when you get to Amud Beis, Rav Ashi appears, and there will be two versions of Rav Ashi. The first version of Rashi speaks about, continues with Rav Yosef's theme, that even if a Rav is moichel and is kovod, it can be forgiven, not so with regard to a Nosi. Nosi is a leader. And then there's an upgraded version of Rashi that says on the lower half of Amud Beis, even if you say that a Nosi could be moichel on his kavod, a king cannot. Now, the Gemara. We're quoting, Rav Matan quotes Rav Chista, Ha'av shemochal kvodei kvodei mochal. A father that's willing to forego his honor, he can do so. Ha'rav shemochal al kvodo ein kvodo mochal. A rabbi who decides to do that has no right to forego the honor due to him. Rav Yosef Amar, afilo harav shemochal al kvodo, kvodo mochul. As far as the reason behind these opinions, we'll get a certain sense of it as we go through the Gemara. So we continue reading in the Gemara. Rav Yosef claims that a rav who's moichel and is kovod, it's mochel. He has the right to forego the honor due to him. Shenemar v'Hashem hoylech lifneim yomom. The Almighty, the ultimate, called the ultimate rav, if you will, in the context of this Gemara, he walked in front of the Jewish people, accompanying them in their travels in the desert. He walked in front of them by day. He walks in front of them by night, providing his subjects, his students, if you will, with services. So he is acting in service of his people, of the lesser ones. So you see from here that that the Rav, the teacher, has the right to forego his honor in being in service of others. So you're passing up on honor due to you. Omar Rava Hachi Hashta. Rava says, how can you make this comparison? We have a Roman numeral number one later on the top of Amud Beis. We'll have a second stage of Rava. Rava says, how can you make this comparison? The world, the universe belongs to him, and the Torah belongs to him. Mochil le liakreid. Being that he's the owner of it, he's the boss, it's his, so he can do whatever he wants. He can forego on the honor due to him, the honor due to him through his Torah. It's his. However, ha-ha, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, ha-ha, Torah delay he? With regard to a Talmud Chacham, are you going to say the Torah is his? If the Torah is not yours, you can't forego the honor due to a Talmud Chacham because of his Torah when you're foregoing honor due to something that's not yours. If it's your own, so you can do with it as you please. It's not yours. It's not your Torah. So you can't forego the honor due to it. The honor that a Talmud Chacham is receiving is because of the Talmud Chacham is a Torah scholar. The honor that a Torah scholar is receiving is because of the Torah that he has expertise in. And to forego the honor would be foregoing the honor due to the Torah, which is not his to forego. Hadar Amar Rava, and then Rava had a turnaround and says, in Torah delay he. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, in fact, the Torah is his. Dichtiv, uvesoyroso yege yoimon voloila. We look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Uvesoyroso yege kiim b'toras Hashem chefzo. Uvesoyroso yege. B'tchila, when looking at the pasuk we just quoted, he nikreis toras Hashem. Before a person approaches and studies Torah, the Torah is not his. It's on the shelf, so to speak. It's God's Torah. Umishalomda v'garsa. When you've studied the Torah and reviewed the Torah, he nikreis Torah so. It's then called his Torah, the one who studies it. The Gemara then at this point gives us the impression that according to Rava, a Talmud Chacham could be moichel on his kavod. Just like Kiviyochel, the Almighty, was moichel on his kavod, so too a Talmud Chacham. We had explained the reason the Almighty was able to be moichel on his kavod because the universe was his and the Torah is his. The Talmud Chacham also, after studying the Torah becomes his own. Therefore, he, being that it's his own, he can moichel, he can forego the honor that's due to him. We're asked a question, though. Notice we have a long question marking. Eini, is that so? Regarding Rava, that a Talmud Chacham can be moichel is kavod v'ha Rava, mashki behilula debrei. Rava was serving drinks at the wedding that he made for his son. The dole kosel Rav Papa, l'Ravuna brev Yeshua, v'komu mikamei. And when he was presenting a cup of wine to Rav Papa and to Ravuna brev Yeshua, they stood up in order to honor Rava. L'Rav Mori, l'Rav Pinchas brev Rav Chista, v'lo komu mikamei. Rava continued serving drinks to these additional two rabbis, and they didn't stand up. Ikbid, Rava got it, was upset. V'yomar, and he said, Hanu Rabbonan Rabbonan Vahanu Rabbonan Lav Rabbonan. He said sarcastically, you are real rabbis, and those guys, namely Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, they're not real rabbis. So you see that Rava did expect respect shown to him, of course, because of his Torah. Don't get the feeling for even a moment that we're dealing with someone that has a sense of haughtiness and he's an honor seeker. But no, there's a matter of principle here. I'm a great Torah scholar, and he was the leading Torah scholar of his generation. Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas should have stood up just like Rav Papa and Rav Huna did. So so you see that Rava holds that a Talmud Chacham cannot be moichel on his kavod. Vesu, and another incident. Rav Papa and Mashki Bei Lula Dabo Morbrei. Rav Papa was serving drinks at the wedding that he made for his son, Abba Mar Bray. Abba Mor is the name of Rav Papa's son. V'doli lei kosel Rav Yitzchak Bray de Rav Yehuda v'lo kom mikamei v'ikbid. And Rav Papa was offering the drink to Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yitzchak did not stand up, and that upset Rav Papa. The Gemara continues. Afilu hachi. We add that which we've written in between the lines, that really, Talmud Chacham Shemocha Kvodi Kvodi Mochul. However, Hidur Me'avid Le Bo'u. Rashi, the Rashi that we're looking at is on the third narrow line. Hidur Lonua Ma'at. A little body movement, little nod of the body. Ki'ilu Roitzi Lamud Miponav. As if he wanted to stand up, that would have been in order. That would have been expected, and that's that they didn't show one iota of respect bothered them. But the principle remains that a Talmud Chacham has the right to forego his honor, and in this case, we could say that the actual honor would be standing up. In an erect posture for a Talmud Chacham. So that they were willing, Rava and Rav Papa were willing to forego. However, total denial or total lack of acknowledgement by even some type of body bend with showing an attempt to stand up, that is unacceptable. Omar Ravashi, Afilu l'man d'omar harav shemocha al kvodu kvodu mochu, even according to the opinion that a rabbi can forego the honor due to him, nasi shemocha al kvodu ein kvodu mochu. A nasi who forgives or forgoes the honor due to him is not forgiven, and you have to show the nasi being a type of, we'll say, leader of the Jewish people. We're going to later contrast the term Nasi with Melech, Melech being a king. The term Nasi could be, in different contexts, a reference to a king, but not in this Gemara. So that a Nasi who indicates that he's forgiving of the honor due to him, nevertheless the subjects must show him his due honor. We see now a long question, which essentially takes in a long Tanaic source. And in this source, we're expecting to see an example of a Nasi who is forgiving of his honor. And we'll see how the source presents a problem for Ravashi's ruling. Meisvei Meisiv Reb Lozer, Reb Yeshua, Reb Yitzadik, three great Tanoim, Shoy Mesubin Bebeis Amishta Benoi Shel Rav Gamliel. They were sitting at a wedding that Rav Gamliel was making for his son. Voya Rav Gamliel Loimidu Mashke Lehem, and Rav Gamliel was serving them drinks. Now we have to point out that Rav Gamliel had the status of Nasi. Nosan ha'kos to Reb Elezer v'lo not lo. He presented a cup to Reb Elezer, and Reb Elezer refused to take it. He didn't want to have the Nosi being in his service. The Nosi, though he is foregoing on his honor by virtue of the fact that he's serving drinks, Reb Elezer refused to compromise on the Nosi's honor. Nasa Rabbi Yeshua v'kiblo, and the cup that Rabbi Yeshua presented Rabbi Yeshua accepted. Omar lo Rabbi Lezer, who didn't take the cup, said, Maze Yeshua, onu yoshvin v'Rabbi Leo oimed umashke olenu. We're sitting here and Rabbi Leo, who is the Nasi, is here serving us. Omar le Rabbi Yeshua, and we have a double underline marking on the side. We have a structural note. Deos hamochichim diyesh koyach benosi limchol al kvoido. Here we have opinions that say that a nasi is able to forego his honor. So Omar Le, Rabbi Yeshua said, Motzinu godol mimenu shishimesh. We find a case of a greater individual that was himself serving. Avram godol hador hoya. Avraham was the leading, the towering figure of his generation. The Kosev Bo, and it says there, V'hu omeid aleim, and he was serving his guests. V'shem otomru kemalachei azor is nidmulo. You might say that in that story, in Parshas Vayera, where the three visitors, the three wayfarers, came to Avram's house, and we know ultimately that they were service angels. Did Avram know that they were service angels and hence serving them? No. You're going to say that they appeared to him as angels? Lo nidmu lo el arvayim. They appeared to him as mere Arabs. And yet, Avram, the Godol Hador, served them. V'anu lo yehe Rabban Gamliel b'ribi oimeidu mashkel anu. Should we not have Rabban Gamliel, b'ribi means the great, Rabban Gamliel, serving us? In other words, my taking the drink from Rabban Gamliel has a very solid precedent in Avram and his guest taking a drink from him. Omar Lohem Rabbi Tzadok Ad Mosay Atem Anichim Kavodil Shemokoyim Vatem Oiskim Bekvoyin Abrios. Rabbi Tzadok carries the theme established by Rabbi Yeshua even further, and he says, until when are you leaving aside the honor of the Almighty and engaging in the honor of people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshivru Chois Umala Nesiyim Umorid Motor Umatzmiach Adomo V'Erech Shulchan Lefnei Kol Echad V'Echad. The Almighty brings winds. He brings Mala Nesiyim, or clouds. He brings forth clouds that have rain. He brings forth the rain from them. He's Matzmiach Adoma, causes food to sprout forth from the ground. The Orech Shulchan, and he sets up the table in front of each person. In other words, food. The Kodesh Baruch Hu makes food available to each one on a personal level. And the Almighty is the Almighty, the ultimate in ultimate. And he's serving us. So, is there anything wrong with a mere mortal, as great as he may be, serving us? Hello. So, the point that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tzadok were making, they made a very strong point. And you see from here that a nosi shemochal al kvodo, kvodo mochol. And hence this long source was a kashan Rav Ashi, where we have Rav Ashi above in the house with a Roman numeral number 1, who had claimed that a nosi shemochal kvodo ain't kvodo mochol. From here you see, yes, mochol. Elo yitmar hochi yitmar. If Rav Ashi had said anything, he would have said the following. Omar Rav Ashi, afilu madomar nosi shemochal kvodo, Kvodo Mochol, even according to the opinion that says that a Nosi can forego his honor, Melech Shemochal al Kvodo ein Kvodo Mochol. A king who forgoes honor, has his foregoing of it is of no consequence. Rather, you have to show the king honor anyway. Shenemar Soim Tosim Olecho Melech. That's the pasuk in the Torah that speaks about appointing a king, and from this expression, "Som tosim alecha, he shall be placed upon you," we learn shetei emoso alecha, that his fear should be upon you. And a king that acts in a honor foregoing mode, you cannot allow that to apply. And you have to nevertheless show him the honor due to him, because otherwise you'll be in violation of having his emo, having his fear, the fear, the awe of his office upon you. if you allow a king to serve you drinks, so then how will you accomplish having Amor, the fear of the king upon you? The topic heading on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, reads, Mipnei Seva Tokum Vodarta Pnei Zokeng. This is what we have on the side, essentially, is a quote from the Pasuk, which indicates that in the face of Seva, Seva has to do with old age, with the elderly, you are to arise and Vodarta Pnei Zokeng and show Hidur, honor to the Zokeng. What a Zokeng is, we're not going to translate that. Rather, let the Gemara continue. The pasuk that will be the focus of our attention is from Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, and it reads, we have it written on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, Mipnei Seva Tokum Vodarta Pnei Zokeng V'yoreso Me'lekecho Ani Hashem. Show honor to the elderly, etc., and have fear of the Almighty. I am your God. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Mipnei Seva Takum. Stand up in the face of Seva. Seva, as we said, has to do with old age, with the elderly. Triangles will appear in this source, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, Yochol, is the word we're highlighting. Shelos, these are questions. Shedarkum, through the questions, loimdim hilchus kovod tamidei chachamim. We'll learn the halachas that regard the honor due to tamidei chachamim and the elderly. So the pasuk had said, "Mibnei seva tokum." Yochol afilu mibnei zokein ashmoi. Does that include even an old man who is Ashmoi? Now, what Ashmoi means, so Rashi has one pshat. If you look in the Rashi, you'll see in the upper third of the Rashi commentary, Zokin Ashmoi, word Ashmoi from the word Osham. Osham has to do with sinning. Rosha of Yamora, I'd say, an evil man or an ignoramus. Do you stand up for them as well? The Tosfos quotes the Rashi and says that the Rashi Pshat is unreasonable because later in the source, the end of the source, Isi ben Yehuda appears indicating that you would stand up for any kind of seva in an unqualified fashion. But he wouldn't say that you stand up for a wicked old man. So what does Zokein Ashmoi means, Rabbeinu Tam, offers a different explanation, not Osham having to do with sin and wickedness, but Osham having to do with the word Shomeim. Shomeim simply means something that's desolate, that's barren, and the individual that the Pasuk is describing might be, that's the Gemara's question, might be simply an ignorant old man. Not an evil old man, but an ignorant old man. So the question is, does the Torah expect me to stand up for any seva, even a zokein ashmoi? Talmud Lomar, zokein. The Torah, in the pasuk we read before, said vadarta b'nei zokein. The word zokein also appears in addition to the word seva. Vein zokein elo chochem. The word zokein means a sage, a scholar. Shenemar isfali shivim ish mizikne Israel. And in the context of that pasuk, it's clear that you're dealing with Torah scholars. Rabbi Yosi Haglili Oimer, ein zokein elo mi shekona chochma. The term zokein is a contraction, ze kona. It's a reference to someone who acquired wisdom. Shenema Hashem Koneni Reishis Darkoi. The Gemara later, at the end, if you skip to the end of this Tanaic source, the first words after the source, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi seems to be echoing the same thing the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama, and you can see we've dashed, underlined, indicated, Ein Zokin Ela Chocham, and we've dashed, underlined here, under Rabbi Yosef Glili, Ein Zokin Ela Mi Shekona Chochma. So, what is the difference? What's Rabbi Yosef Glili adding? That, as we saw, will be dealt with by the Gemara. Let's continue. Yochol Yamoid Miponov Mimokom Rochoik. Does the halacha require me to stand up for the chacham when he is still at a distance? You see him half a block away. Do you start standing up at that point? Talmud Lomar Tokum v'Hadarta. Once again, these are words from the pasuk Lamed Beis. Lo omarti kima ela b'mokim sheyesh hidur. The Almighty says, I did not say to stand up, other than when you're standing up will be a demonstration of honor and respect. If you stand up for a Talmud Chacham, for a Torah scholar, when he's a half a block away, your standing up isn't going to be associated with the Talmud Chacham a half a block away. It's not going to be obvious that you're showing him respect. Your demonstration of respect is when he comes within four amos of where you are and you stand up, then it's clear that your standing up is as a demonstration, as a showing of respect for him. So, tokum vodarta means stand up in under circumstances where your standing up will be a source of honor. Yochol yahadrenu b'momon. Might it be understood that I'm supposed to pay money, to spend money, in order to honor the Talmud Chacham? Talmud Lomar, we say not so. Once again, the same words, tokum vodarta. We learn from the juxtaposition of these words, ma kimo shein bo chisorin kis, just like standing up does not involve any financial depletion, af hidur shein bo chisorin kis. So too, the honor that the Torah envisions does not involve any expenditure. We should point out, by the way, that the details of this source will be analyzed by the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel. In the meantime, we continue with the source as it is. Yochol yamoid miponov mibeis hakisei umibeis hamerchatz. The Torah expectation of my standing up for a Talmud Chacham, does that include in the Beis HaKiseh, the bathroom, Beis HaMerchatz, the bathhouse? Talmud Lomar, Tokum V'Hadarta. Again, you have these two words. Lomar Tikimo Ela B'Mokoim Shiyesh Hidor. I speak about standing up in a place where honor is demonstrated. The bathhouse or the bathroom is not considered a place that people are expected to demonstrate honor to begin with. It's not a place, it's not considered an honorable place, and hence standing up there is not expected. The Gemara, as we said a moment ago, will analyze this further, but for now we go on in the source. Yochol Yatsim Einov Kemi Shelo Roehu. Could one close his eyes as if he doesn't see the Talmud Chacham? Kind of an odd possibility to raise, but again, the Gemara will deal with that later. Is this something that one could consider doing? Close his eyes as if he doesn't see him? Talmud Lomar Tokum. And you continue reading in the pasuk. That's why I have three dots over here. V'yoreisa, stand up, and also have fear of God. Dover hamosur lelev ne'mar bo v'yoreisa melkech. Something that's a matter of conscience, literally that's given to your heart. Something that's a matter of your internal awareness. Concerning that, the Torah says, have fear of God. Who are you fooling by closing your eyes when you see the Talmud Chacham? Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, minayin lezokein shelo yatriach. From where do we know that a zokein, a scholar, should not trouble the assembly, the assembled? Rashi says shelo yatriach. A little more than halfway down the Rashi column, he says im yochol leilech derech acheres shelo yamir es hatzibur. If a Talmud Chacham has an option to walk in such a way that he won't trouble the assembled, the congregation, to stand up for him, he should opt for that. In other words, you can have a situation where a Talmud Chacham is going to, let's say, hold forth, lecture in front of a community assembly. He can walk down the main aisle where he'll be walking by numerous people, and one row after the other of people will stand up for him as he's walking through. On the other hand, there might be a type of, say, entranceway near the podium from where he's going to speak. He's not going to be walking by the people. He's not going to be certainly not within their four amos. And that way, he can walk through that particular door and reach his position without troubling the people to stand up for him. For where do we know that that's what's really expected of the Talmud Chacham? He should not matriach, he shouldn't trouble the people if he has such an option. Talmud Lomar, Zokein V'Yoresa. In the Pasuk, if you look at the Pasuk as we have it on the side, Vodarta Pene Zokein, and right afterwards Zokein, you have the word V'Yoresa. So we have V'Yoresa, the idea of being God-fearing, right next to the word Zokein, that he too should internalize this idea of having a sense of fear of all the Almighty, and understand that the Almighty would be happier if the Talmud Chacham would exercise his own humility and not trouble the tzibur. Isi ben Yehuda Omer mipnei seva tokum afilu kol seva b'mashma. So Isi ben Yehuda, he disagrees with the opening opinion of this source and says any elderly individual is included in the Torah requirement of your standing up for him. The Gemara asks the question that we mentioned before. We have a double star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the marking above, and you can see where Rabbi Yossi HaGlili entered the discussion. And we ask, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Hainu Tana Kama? Is he not saying the same thing as the Tana Kama, that the Torah, when it commands you to stand up, it's limiting the expectation to standing up for a Torah scholar? So what is Rabbi Yossi HaGlili adding when he says Ein Zokin Elo Mishikono Chochma, that the Talmud, that the Tana Kama, that the first opinion didn't already say? Iko Binayu, a point of difference between them would be Yonik V'Chocham. A Yonik means a young person who's also brilliant, who's also a Torah scholar. Tana Kama Sovar Yonik V'Chochim Lo. The Tana Kama is of the opinion that someone who is, though he is a Talmud Chacham, though he's a Torah scholar, but because of his youth, one need not stand up for him. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Sovar Afilu Yonik V'Chochim. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says the emphasis is not on the age, but it's on his Torah scholarship. My time in Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And here, the Gemara will have a back and forth discussion, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili versus the Tana Kama. Why does each one maintain their respective positions? So what's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi HaGlili? Omar Loch, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili will tell you. E salkadaita kita Omar Tana Kama. If you were to think as the Tana Kama, the first opinion, that you're not expected to show the respect of standing up for someone who is young, though he's a Torah scholar. And kein nichtav rachmona b'pnei seva zokein tokum vadarta. Let the Torah have written the pasuk that way. which would have indicated putting the word seva zokein. Seva would mean someone who is elderly, together with zokein, someone who is a scholar. So I would understand then, for an old Torah scholar, you stand up. Maishno de palginu rachmono. The Torah, when you look at the pasuk, you don't find the word seva right next to zokein. Why did the Torah split them, distance them from one another in the verse? Lameimar, to tell me dahai lav hai vahai lav hai, that the two are not one in the same. So that shma mino, I conclude afilu yonik v'chochim, even someone who is young but is a Torah scholar, there is honor of standing up due to him as well. The Tanakama has to deal with the phrasing of the pasuk as it is, i.e., it did not say b'nei seva zokein, as Rabbi Yossi Aglili suggested, b'nei seva zokein tokum. So the Tanakama says b'nei mishum deboy lemismach zokein v'yoreisa. The Torah was interested in having the word zokein followed immediately by the Oresa. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's suggestion wouldn't have accomplished that. You would have, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you had B'nei Seva Zokin, and following that, we had the word Tokum. But I want, says the Tanakhama, the word Zokin to be followed immediately by the word of Yoresa, to teach me the idea of Shelo Yatriach. We saw above in the source that he shouldn't trouble the masses to stand up if he has another option. The Tanakama, my time. Why does the Tanakama deny the requirement of standing up for a young Talmud Chacham? So, if you are to accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili's approach that the pasuk is speaking about two separate individuals, an older Torah scholar and a young Torah scholar, as Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, the high lav high, the high lav high, just above this, you see that in the Gemara Lashon, the Gemara expression. So if you're going to accept that one, this one is not that one, and that one is not this one, so then, im kain nichtav rachmona, the Torah should have stated, and we continue at the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. Now, just to repeat the main point, if, as Rabbi Yossi Aglili claimed, that the Seva word is not the same as the Zokain, so then it should have said as follows. And you can see that we've used a diamond on the top of Daf Lamed Gimel to highlight the separateness, the distinction between these two types of individuals. And for each one, you would have to show the respect of standing up. So it should have said, b'nei seva tokum v'hadarta, tokum v'hadarta p'nei zokein. And that would have been a very clear separation of the two. Umidelo kosav hachishma mino chadhu. And from the fact that the Torah did not phrase it this way, says the Tanakhama, conclude that Zokain and Seva are one in the same. And hence, the Tanakhama's position that one is expected to stand up only for a Torah scholar that is also of advanced age. You might notice that we have a volcano shape, or a trapezoid if you prefer, and these introduce quotes from the source that the Tanaic source that we just saw that had on the Lamed Beis and Mem Beis, all of the triangles in it. And as we said, the Gemara will be analyzing the different sections of that source. And Mirza Shem, our next shir, will look into that matter, all the quotes. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.